Okay. All right. Well, let's start with you telling me your name and title.
My name is Rebecca Richmond Cohn. I'm the director of War Done Done.
So how did you get interested in this subject?
When I was in, I'm actually trained as a lawyer, not a filmmaker. And when I was in law school, I had a summer internship at the Special Court for Sierra Leone, where I worked on a defense team of the leader of another warring faction who was being prosecuted at the court. And while I was working there, I came to know the lawyers involved both in the defense of Issa Cisse and in the prosecution. And I respected their commitments to their case and to the people they represented, and thought that it would make a good documentary film.
What was it about Cisse's case that was so intriguing?
Well, Cisse was the highest-ranking living leader of the RUF, which is an organization that committed terrible crimes in Sierra Leone. And it seemed to me that it was a fascinating trial, also because this was a man who was responsible in large part for the peace negotiations, for bringing an end to the war. And I thought it would be interesting to see how a trial could judge sort of the nuance of the scope of one man's action, and how it would take into account these different things that might mitigate or aggravate a sentence.
Now, what do you think is the best thing that came out of this court?
The best thing that came out for the court, or for... I mean, I think like one of the greatest achievements of the Special Court for Sierra Leone is its outreach effort, and that's one of the things we tried to document in the film. But you know, unlike its predecessors, the tribunals in Rwanda and Yugoslavia, the Special Court for Sierra Leone is the first major war crimes tribunal to take place in the country where the atrocities were committed. And the Special Court hired outreach teams, two officers in every district in the country, to travel those districts with power generators, right, because there's not a lot of electricity in Sierra Leone, and television monitors, and screen excerpts of the trial, and engage communities in dialogue, and to respect people's opinions if they supported or opposed the court, but to have that put out there in a public forum. We not only documented that in the film, but also sort of used that as a stylistic device, the way people watched and sort of experienced the trial in this mediated way through video. That became sort of a stylistic device for us to go back to.
And what do you think was the most problematic aspect of this court?
That's a good question. The most problematic, I mean, one of the most problematic aspects of the court is also, I think, one of its greatest successes, which is its limited mandate, right? This is a court whose mandate was to try those who bear the greatest responsibility for crimes committed in the war. So that meant that this court could do it much cheaper than any of its predecessors, much faster than any of its predecessors, and actually it had an achievable mandate. But the other part of that is by trying so few people in a very real way, I think it did a disservice to the historical narrative by telling a story of a very few people being accountable for the crimes of many. And I think that was a real challenge that the court faced.
Well, I thought you also made a strong point in the movie that was very interesting about how this was a guerrilla war without a clear hierarchy. So the fact that he was the leader of the RUF for a short period, it was unclear exactly how much of a leader he was during the entire war. Which brings us back to Cisse, and this is kind of ambivalent in the film, but what do you think? Do you, after watching it, I mean, I've seen an hour and a half, you've seen much more. Do you think he was guilty?
I'll say this. I don't think Issa Cisse was innocent. I think the way that we define guilt is something that the film tries to interrogate and is something that we should continue to think about and talk about as we define the scope of international criminal prosecutions. But this was a man who was, in fact, a high-ranking commander in an organization that committed terrible crimes. And even though he wasn't the interim leader until the very end of the war, he was a high-ranking commander. And I think there was some direct evidence that he was very complicit in crimes, and on those counts he was convicted and should have been convicted. And on other counts, the law is defined much more diffusely about how someone is responsible in a position of leadership. And I think those are the things we need to question more closely as the project of international criminal justice moves forward.
Considering how important the court was for the country, and we see that in what you've already mentioned, when you see the villagers watching this on the video and you hear them talking about how important the sense of justice is, I mean, do you think that maybe in the end that's more important than whether or not he actually was guilty of attacks on peacekeepers or mass rape or this or that? I mean, the fact that, you know, he did create child soldiers that were, you know, and abducted people, like, that's enough, and, you know.
I mean, right, so there's two questions. There's the question of justice, and there's the question of the perception of justice, right? So when we get the story wrong, like, not only is that unjust, but that also, we come back to look at the whole proceedings in a different light. So while, I mean, and I think you can argue both ways that Cisse's prosecution in many ways was good for the country. It was an important symbol, right? It showed the expressive function of law, that if you commit the crime, we'll punish you for it. It also, I think, has the potential maybe to work the other way, right? Not just to promote peace, but to also send a signal to other leaders that if you disarm, you're gonna spend the rest of your life in prison, regardless of your participation in the peace process. The prosecution counters that's incorrect, that actually the message that it sends is that you shouldn't commit the crimes in the first place, and that's going to be the real deterrent power of the court. So I don't think it's a clear answer. I think it's a debate that we need to have, and I hope that's what we tried to show in the film.
Thanks so much.